This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of April of the year 2018, and it is being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is taken from St. John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And if you have these scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. It says, Jesus is speaking. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The title for this message is, The Truth Is What It Is, Part Number 2. And this is part 2 of a 10-part series, which will take us all the way through to the end of the year. Now, when I left off last month, I was addressing the single most problem that we have in this nation, and especially in the black community, and that is preachers that are so focused on things like power, influence, popularity, and prosperity that they, in effect, have sold out themselves and those that listen to them to the new religion of the new gods. The new gods are psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists, scientists, and all others that hold to the idea of mankind being able to solve his own problems without having to look to some make-believe entity that doesn't meet their criteria of being real. In short, if they can't physically see, touch, hear, dissect, probe his brain to see how he works, then he is to be ignored. This is talking about Christ. What we are seeking to do is what Lucifer attempted to do that got him cast out of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 14, Lucifer says this. He says, "I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." In this case, they want to be like God, having control over the people. But because that can't happen, they go to the other extreme, and that is to portray God as being just like us. We're going to Romans chapter number 1, verse number, starting at verse number 22 and 23. Said, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. By doing this, they take away the idea that God is who he is, and that is our creator, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, holy, righteous, and able to do everything but fail, and paint him as someone that makes mistakes and learns from them, and thus changes his mind when enough people complain about his rules." One of the biggest influences on our society occurred back in 1971 when the program All in the Family was aired. This show was the beginning of what was and is described as the era of the sitcom or situational comedy. Its purpose was to take human behavior and mold it in such a way as to eliminate differences and anything that would cause conflict in society by pointing out how absolutely idiotic solutions and rules from the Christian perspective really are. Rather than doing it in a harsh, in-your-face, argumentative, strong, abrasive manner, they resorted to showing all sorts of examples as to how stupid those things that Christ or God says are right and wrong really are, by using the character Archie Bunker, a white, supposedly misguided imbecile who consistently misquotes the Bible or the interpretation of certain scripture to support his idea of how things should be. His wife, Edith, essentially has to jump and run every time he tells her to do something. His daughter, Gloria, and son-in-law, the meathead, or Michael, as Archie calls him, are always bringing up situations that show how ignorant Archie really is, whether it has to do with his treatment of Edith, his position on race, women, crime, gays, and ultimately God. This program was the design of the new gods. Their purpose was to set themselves up as the supreme authority as to what society should act and look like. When God says something should go one way, these individuals examine it, and if they see anything that they can disagree with, they take it, embellish it, and make it as repugnant and idiotic as they can, and feed it to the people in the form of something that is pleasant to everyone. Talking about comedy. The acceptable term for this type of comedy is situational ethics. From this show and the others that followed it, some 47 years later, this nation is going to hell in a handbasket. Because what many didn't know was that they and their children were being systemically or systematically indoctrinated into the religion of the Antichrist. Remember, Lucifer and Satan wanted to be equal to God or even be above him, and the only way to do that is to make him less than he, Lucifer, is. Well, since he couldn't do that, he did the next best thing, and that is make it appear that he was. Just about every commandment and statute God put forth, Satan challenged with what appeared to be complete logic. Remember the three tests that he confronted Christ with? He challenged Christ to show off his power. He challenged him to essentially attempt to test God by getting him to attempt suicide. Then he offered him all the riches of the earth if he would bow down to him. In each of these instances, Jesus put forth the word of truth, and he had to retreat from him for a season. This brings us to the real reason for our problems in this nation today, and that is the vast majority of preachers in this nation have no problem compromising with Satan on any issue that they feel will help their ministries grow and that will endear them to their communities. But Satan doesn't present himself as he really is. He uses his servants, the new gods, with that same type of faulty logic that Satan used against Christ in the wilderness. And the problem is, they don't have an answer for it. Well, I am going to address some of them in the rest of this message, and I'm going to use what should be common Christian sense to do it. First, the theory of evolution. The first thing you need to realize is this is a theory and not a fact. As a result, any actions taken by mankind as a direct result of people taking this as a fact means those actions will essentially lead to confusion and possibly destruction. This theory is a flat-out lie to combat the truth that God is real. The lie is, all life on this earth started out as a single-cell organism that over millions of years evolved into all the different creatures, past and present, that we see today. Well, let's look at this from the very simplest view. How did this single organism come to life in the first place? The next thing is, considering all the different creatures, including man, and how they reproduce, how did each of these different species know what to do in order to reproduce? Like it or not, all of this evidence shows some sort of intelligent design. Genesis chapter 1 verse number 22 says, "And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." From the beginning, God designed all of what has happened. Nothing is by accident in this area of reproduction. As I mentioned in part one, when man comes up with a theory, he sets out to find evidence to support it. And I also said that anything that goes against it is rejected. Then he takes his theory and presents it as a fact. The fact of the matter is, the more people with notable positions and credentials in the community that accept this theory, the easier it is to get others to accept it. When that happens, a chain of events occurs that help perpetuate it. As man digs into making this theory more legitimate with what appears to be evidence supporting it, man's recognition of God begins to diminish. And despite God's attempts to show him the error of his ways, man begins to move further away from him and thus ceases to hear him. At some point in time, God will do several things. First, he will make one final all-out demonstration of truth that, will be so undeniable that if man still will not accept it, then, like it or not, God will cease actively making an effort to bring him back. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 17 says this: Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18 says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold their truth in or hold the truth in unrighteousness. And in Romans 1 and 28 says, And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What these scriptures reveal is, because man has chosen to accept as truth or fact something that goes against what God says, he has made that theory his idol. Thus, he has entered into idolatry. The first commandment God gave to Israel stated that they were not to have any other gods before them. Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse number 3, says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse number 4 says, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse number 5, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. When man chose to remove the idea that God created all things and substituted the theory of evolution as being fact, he violated the primary directive of God and set in motion the chaos that we have today. People say they still believe God is real, but what about all of the evidence that is around us that seems to support some aspects of the idea of evolution, such as dinosaur fossils and other things like that, which give us the idea that these things are proof of some sort of evolutionary processes? If you will look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 28 again, you will see the capitalized part that says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This means a mind that is totally without any redeemable worth. And a mind in this condition is as bad as it gets, because it not only rejects God, but actually wages war against him. Getting back to all the so-called evidence of evolution, There is a passage of scripture that I believe not many people know is in the Bible. This scripture gives me reason to suspect that a lot of this evidence, or what a lot of this evidence really is. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 11, we find these words recorded. It says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." What the scripture is saying is that man can become so tangled up in his idolatry that not only will God turn him over to a reprobate mind, but will also supply him with the evidence or strong delusion that he is looking for to keep him believing it for the express purpose of damning him. I know this doesn't sound like God or Christ that is preached in most of our churches today, but that's the way it is. Or as I said, the title of the message goes, "The truth is what it is." The emphasis in these churches today is on getting as many people in them as possible. Well, the only way to do that, they believe, is to find out what the people want to hear, then provide it. The thing is, a person that is suffering wants to hear about healing. What very few of them want to hear about is why they are suffering. Man is consistently looking for solutions to problems that come directly from his sinful ways, rather than turning away from them. In other words, they want God's blessings, but not his lordship over their lives. And God's not having it. There is not a single parent that is in their right mind that would continually reward their child for bad behavior. Yet these same people think God would do that for them. This is one of the problems I have with many word of faith preachers. They are always telling people that their blessing or deliverance is at hand, and all they have to do is believe and receive it. But they don't say anything about the need to get right with God first. Big mistake. Because when you give people the idea that they can essentially receive blessing from God while at the same time continuing in their wicked ways, you are making him look like a fool. And who wants to do that? More next month. Well, that's the end of this particular part of our message. And I hope you're beginning to see what I'm getting at as we go through these messages and things. Like I say, no long, drawn-out rehashing of the message until I get to the end. So with that being said, this is Evangelist George McTire saying to you and yours, may God bless you and your family real good until we get together again for part 3 of this message, or until we get together again for some other message that I have recorded. May God bless you and have a good day.